Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening out there in the radio audience. This is Kenny Hodge, co-producer of Hodge to Hodge Podcast Radio, with a special edition of The Messenger tonight, again, dedicated to mothers. Now, let me tell you something about The Messenger before we get started. We tried to have a production meeting today, and the only answer I got back from The Messenger was... I'm going to do God's will. Now, whatever God tells me to say, that's what I'm going to say. So even though this is a Mother's Day message, mothers, I want you to hold on, because it's very possible that you may hear no feminine talk whatsoever. When I say feminine, I mean you may hear no talk about women whatsoever. I just want to go on record to say it. I tried to get the brother to do the Mother's Day message, and the only thing I got back to him was, I'm not telling you no hustle, brother. I'm telling you God's words. So that's how we're going to start this show off tonight. Hey, listen, Kenny Hodge here. And as always, I got my right hand, my big brother, Messenger Rob Dyer with me. Man, how you feeling, brother?
I'm blessed, my brother.
And as always, we have our newest cast host member, Nurse Carmen.
Hello. Hello.
Okay. All right. Let's go. Okay. That's an inside joke. That's a studio audience joke only. Hey, but listen, tonight again, it's a very special day. But guess what? Yesterday was very special, and tomorrow is going to be just as special. Just so
Amen.
We keep everything in perspective. Okay, we are going to address what people consider to be Mother's Day today. In fact, we're not even going to address it. It's just a message. And again, and if it's for the mothers, it's for the mothers. But again, it's for everybody. How's that, Brother Messenger?
Bless you, brother. Thank you so much.
All right. I just want to go on record again to the podcast audience. And you see what happens? I tried to persuade a different message for you tonight, and I tried to do that based on, again, conditioning. It's Mother's Day, so let's press, especially when you go into church today. I bet you every church probably preached a Mother's Day sermon today. So again, and if we actually feed into that, then actually instead of showing mama pride, what we really tell a mama, this is the only day we really think about you. And that's not the message we want to put out. So, Brother Messenger, I'm going to go ahead and cut my mic down. But one more time. One more time. I tried to get him to do a Mother's Day message, y'all. All right, Brother Messenger. One more time. I just want to go on record, man.
And I want to say to you, my brother, it is so true that you did. And as I was trying, I just want us to understand, because you just said something that's really important that we need to understand with regards to quote unquote Mother's Day, you know, Father's Day, and all of those days, we have to understand that as when we become who it is that we are, every day is going to be Mother's Day, and every day is going to be Father's Day. I tried to search the scriptures and do a little meditating so that I can be able to try and do this, but I want us to understand that it's really even not even about that, because once you know who you are, every day, as you said, is a special day, and that special day doesn't only belong to you, but it belongs to everyone. When you get to know who you are, when you see your mother, your earthly mother and your earthly father, you will always celebrate them. And to quote unquote set aside a day, and this even goes with, to be truthful with you, with religion, to set aside a day for God, when the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, every day is God's day. And because of that, we've got to kind of break that thinking that there are certain days. If you treat your mother special every day, then what is today? Just another day. And when I mean just another day, I don't mean that lightly. I mean it is just another day that you treat her special. And that's what we should, that's where we need to get. But because of our training, as for instance, Christmas and all of these are just things that they've placed in here to quote unquote celebrate marketing and stuff to that nature. And we've got to get away from that type of stuff and continue to focus and on who we are. We can't truly celebrate Mother's Day not knowing who we are, because truthfully, we don't even really know who our mothers are, because we don't know who we are. And so we've got to constantly talk about who we are and try to bring us into the realization of who we are, so that we can see in a more different way. It's a beautiful thing to want to celebrate and give them praise, but I still say, and not trying to be so quote unquote godly that I can't recognize these things, but it's important for us that we understand that we are supposed to love ye one another as ourselves. So the woman that gave us birth, we are supposed to love them to the utmost, and not just on a day in May or whatever day it happens to fall on. And so if we start to quote unquote celebrate today as Mother's Day, then what we do is we allow ourselves to limit the celebration that we have for these people. And we've got to change that thought. We've got to change that mindset so that not only since today is over, now what, mothers just go back to being regular old mothers? That same work that we celebrated them for today, they're doing it tomorrow. And so if we were so appreciative of what they've done today, we need to continue that on tomorrow. And so I just want to, what I'll do for a moment is I'll just expound a little bit on women, just a little bit, and see where the spirit leads me. But I just want to tell you, there was a period in time, it's called the matriarch period, where women actually controlled most of government, religion, and all of that other stuff, and men were just protectors. And men were protectors and actually child care. That's what the men did, and the women ruled everything. And what happened was they ruled this time for quite some time without much problem, to be truthful with you. And then men had a problem with the women being the boss and they not having much to say or do about anything. And as time went on, man devised a plan, and that plan was to get power. And in order for them to get power, you know what they did? They created this mythical being, and guess what they called him? They called him Satan. And they made Satan man, so that, that way the women had to start slowly but surely turn over some of their authority to the men, because they felt that they didn't have the physical strength to deal with another man. So this is how man began to take over power from the women. There are inside the Bible, there are many stories of different women and stuff of that nature. And throughout all of these stories, there's not every single one of them, but there's a lot of degrading women. There is a lot of degrading women, and women, just as men, and it's hard for me to wrap my head around this, because God has no respect of person. And in a lot of these religions, there are certain women that there is only certain things that they can do, because we are using the mindset of God being man. And because God is a man, he is the head. So because God is a man and he is the head, that automatically make all men the head. But we know that that's not true. God is man, God is woman. God is everything. So on that note, because of the fact that I'm not able to truly, truly give sound doctrine or sound fact on this Mother's Day, I am going to humble myself and allow the audience to speak, and speak with no reservation on just how much it is that they enjoy this day or what they feel or got out of it, so that everyone can see that I'm not anti-mother. I love my mother to death. As a matter of fact, I took her out to dinner. We went out to dinner today with mother. Had a great time. But I've got to say, this is not a one-time thing. I try to do it as often as possible with my mother. So this is part of the reason why I'm not really up on the Mother's Day per se. They have to hold me down, because they know I'll get me a text in a minute. But it was a beautiful day. We really enjoyed ourselves. But for me to intertwine that with what it is that God wants, I'm not able to do it. I'm not saying it's not possible. And so this is why, not too many times, but this is one time that I would really like to hear from our listeners, anyone that's calling in, just on their experience of dealing with God on this day that they call Mother's Day.
Well, go ahead, Nurse Carmen. I'll yield to you.
Okay, well, first of all, I had a beautiful Mother's Day. I was at that dinner with Mother Mac and family at the dinner, and it was really nice. Enjoyed my food and the company. And I want to say, these two gentlemen that to the podcast audience that we're listening to, that we listen to on this podcast, treat their mother very special every day. To them, every day is Mother's Day. And I have to say, I've known these two gentlemen over 40 years, and I've seen it over the years. And kudos to you two brothers.
Oh.
Yeah. Not only your mother, women in general. You're very respectful of women in general, so I love you two brothers for that. So, having said that, to me, Mother's Day is not that special, because I treated my mother the same thing. I loved my mother to death before she passed. And every day was special with my mother. And my mother was a special person to a lot of people. She was a community mother. People loved her, and she did a lot for our neighbors. She was always helpful. My mother was a praying mama and brought us up in the church, reading the Bible and so forth. And she was a great grandmother. Not a great grandmother, a wonderful grandmother. That's what I mean. She was only a grandmother.
She said she wasn't two generations deep.
No, just one generation deep before she passed. Just one generation deep. And I miss her. But it was a wonderful day. Wonderful day. And like we said, every day is a special day. Every day that I breathe, I'm on the other side of the dirt. I'm grateful for that day.
Amen.
Amen. And you know, again, I try to, because I know how my mother feels about Mother's Day. as we say in the military, what is important to the commanding general, it should be important to you too.
Amen.
So I make sure that I put that extra call in. I do, but you're right. I try to love my mother every day. But I know that she looks at this day special. So then I cater to keep my mother happy rather than it's just an actual Mother's Day day. Because you're right, when we start to do that, and I know most people would be like, come on now, it's just one day to show a little something extra. And again, not anti, not one bit. But if we took off the one day and said, why don't you do that every day? Well, I mean, really, if and when I say every day, yeah, call your mother every day. She got time to go out to lunch. If it fits in your schedule or if you can do it. Because if you move some things around today, you can move them around every day. And when you can't, so be it. You can't. But the point I'm just making is if we make an attempt, and trust me, I am in no way advocating that nobody, when I do say nobody, I mean nobody don't love their mother. I'm not even saying that. Now, fathers on Father's Day, we might have a whole different sermon there. But when it comes down to moms, so don't take that like that. I'm just really saying, rather than put extra attention on a day, why don't we take that and let's put extra attention on every day for moms. And if you put that attention for moms, you'll put it for everybody.
All right. Go ahead, my brother. No, you didn't say it. I can't say
that's
it.
Right. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, again, and you know, and again, it's a new psychology or thought process that we have to be in to actually live this ministry that we're telling you about. And that is treat every day special, treat everybody special, because you don't just wake up and arrive there. Usually, and I know this might sound crazy, in order for you to get there, you probably have to first understand that there's going to be some people that walk over you or think they walk over you. But while you're on the road to understanding your greatness, your own inner greatness, that doesn't bother you. But what other people may look at is, yeah, I got over on him on that. You so busy focusing on something else that, okay, whatever. Now let's just keep moving on. So while you're on that road, understanding that every day and everybody's special, there's going to be some situations that people want to look at like, oh, he's out of touch. Oh, he's soft. Oh, he's a wimp. But all the while, they don't understand. All you're really doing is just gearing up and strengthening up. And wimp, out of touch, none of that actually applies to you.
It can apply to you, my brother, because once again, who you are. And for someone to think of you as a wimp shows you just exactly who they are and how blind they are to the fact. And what we have to do is use this ministry not only as we're on the podcast, but as we live our lives daily trying to tell people. And all you can do is tell them. And as I've said so many times, God's word will not return void. So when you tell them, it might not stick today, but they got it. And eventually it will come to them. Because as I've said so many times before, you can get it today, you can get it tomorrow, you can get it this lifetime or you can get it the next lifetime, but you are going to get it. Before it, you will get it. It says in the Bible that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Now, excuse me, that's just a saying, but you have to look at the meaning of that, the real meaning of that. No, you're not going to have to bow. You're going to be bowing to yourself. But you will come to know just who you are. So why wait another 200 years when you can start right now? You can start right now. And I've given you a way, and I'm not the only one that has given it to you, but you have to take heed. The first thing we need to do is to start to meditate. And this is very important. When you meditate, what you're doing is you're clearing your mind of everything. And when you clear your mind of everything and there's nothing there, and where there's nothing, there is what? God. Because God is everywhere. So when you get all the other stuff outside your mind, all the daily activities and things going on, when you're able to get them out of your mind, then God can come in and start to deal with you. But when you continue to have the worldly things wrapped up, and this goes for me as well, going on in your life, this and that, I got to do this, I need this, I have to understand this and that. You've got so much going on in your mind that you don't have time to recognize that God is talking to you or he's there for you. So this is why I'm trying to get us to understand the importance of meditation. And you can't meditate and think about everything else, because that's not meditating. That's just thinking. And meditating is clearing your mind and allowing God to talk to you. And I found that to be very hard to do. But it is something that we have to work on a daily basis. And when we do that, trust me and believe when I tell you this, you will see and hear from God.
Oh, I believe you, brother, and I know it to be true. Yeah, I've already experienced that. In fact, I continually experience that.
And it's just that simple, brother. Because people, they claim they want to have communion with God, but they don't want to do what it takes to do it. They think by going to church and listening to someone tell stories, preach a sermon from stories in the Bible, that that's a connection with God. It's really not a connection with God. It really isn't. Because if you keep hearing those stories over and over again, you can preach the sermon for the preacher. But God has a word for each and every one of us, and that word that he has for us, he did not send it to someone else. Why does he need to send it to someone else for you when he's right inside of you, waiting for you to open up to hear what he has to say? And I'm not saying that the man that calls himself a man of God, what he really is, so I don't want to take that from him. But when a preacher tells you something, that's not to take it for granted that no, he didn't say that, because God can use anybody or anything to speak to us. We just have to be able to understand it, see it, hear it, and then apply it. But we can't just focus on, I can only get a word from God from the preacher. Because if you're only focusing on getting a word from the preacher, then the things that we're saying to you in this podcast, you're not even able to receive it, because I'm not Reverend Messenger. I'm not Reverend Hodge. So you're missing what it is God has for you, because you expect it in only one way. You want healing, and people give you ways that you can heal yourself, but just because they're not a doctor, you don't follow it, and then you got to go through all kinds of different things when it was something really simple. And I'll give you a good example. She just so happens to be a nurse. But I'll tell you this. I think it was a cold sore. And it's a simple remedy. I felt a bump coming on my lip. And I called Nurse Carmen, and I asked Nurse Carmen about it. And she said, here's what you do. You get some toothpaste, not gel, get some toothpaste and put it on there. And I'm telling you, I put it on there, and within about 4 or 5 hours, that bump had left. Something simple as that. And I like to use the simple things because we're always looking for these big, glorious things to happen and think that that's the only way that God can talk to us. And it's not. We've got to be, and once we're able to see the small things, then we can be able to see and appreciate the bigger things that he have in store. But if all we can do is sit back and wait for God to open up the windows of heaven and right up in the sky, this is my beloved, whatever, that's the only way we're going to believe it. Do you know how many messages we have missed from him?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Preach, brother.
But I just want us as a body knowing who it is that is our Creator and what He has done for us and what He has given us. And I just know once you begin to walk in the knowledge of who you are, you can start to see things happening that it can't be nothing but the God in you, and not only the God in you, but the God in other people. And this is what we need to see. And instead of seeing the God in other people, we rather see something that we don't like rather than see the God in people. And I can't get over this because I've been known sometimes to be too generous of a giver, but I do know this, that there have been drug addicts, there have been alcoholics, there have been just hustlers out on the street asking for change. And every time I give them change, they say, bless you, or thank you, God, or something to that nature. Now, we might not see it as what it is, but they're calling it out to you, telling you it's the God in you. We might not take it that because we think that the situation they're in isn't a situation of any great importance. But everything is important. Everything is important because all things are working together for the good. We just have to see it and see the good instead of constantly seeing what we think is bad.
Amen. And again, that takes training. That takes training. It takes patience, and it takes the ability to want to change.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. It does. If you've been taught that 2 and 2 is 4, it's going to take some time for you to understand that 2 and 2 is actually 1.
Yeah.
The same way it's taking us forever to understand that all of this is just one. It's just one.
But you know, again, once you've learned something, or once you've been exposed to something with enough regularity that it is intended to be permanently imprinted in your brain, it is not very easy to go against that, because you have to hear that message or this message several times before you will even contemplate allowing it to penetrate.
Right.
This is true.
Because because the teaching is, or what you're hearing is vastly different from what you've always heard.
Correct. And because it's different, even though it is of the same book, and is of the same doctrine per se, but in a different way, we take it to be wrong. And we can't continue to do that because we're spinning our wheels. We're spending time. That's what we're doing. We're spending time. And that's something that you to do. Spend time. You can spend your money. You can do that type of stuff. But you can't spend time when you want to get to a state of mind, a state of being where you are one. And being in that state does not mean that you no longer have any great importance, that you no longer are able to enjoy life. Let's think about the Buddha. Everyone would have loved to sit down at the Buddha's feet and talk to him. Jesus Christ, everyone loved. He used to have the multitudes. So it wasn't as if he was an irrelevant person. And in spite of what they tell you, Jesus enjoyed life. But he spent his life, just as he said, doing the will of the Father. And doing the will of the Father was trying to get people to understand just who they are. I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. And we think because... Yes.
Oh, Brother Messon, we just have another caller joining in here. Sister Purr, is that Sister Purr?
Yes, it is.
Bless you,
okay,
my sister.
Hey.
Good evening.
We kind of went around the horns and just took a minute or two and expressed Mother's Day or every day or what Mother's Day meant or how you spent Mother's Day. And if you'd like to take a few minutes and speak on that, you have the microphone.
Thank you. Mother's Day was very quiet over here. It was peaceful. Not having two-legged children, I celebrated with my four-legged children and took a moment to reflect on my own mom for a while. It was a nice day. Thank you.
I'm just, you know, hold on for a second. Since we there. See, that's what happens. That's what happens when you let the wrong person get his hands on technology. That's why it's only limited to some.
But that's a beautiful thing because, yes, we've got to know that we always love our mothers, but we got to always love everyone. Every day. And I'll bring that back to God. The Bible tells us it's the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Every day is holy. We can't be singling this stuff out. If we are going to be who we are supposed to be, we can't. And as you get in tune with God, you will find that the feeling and the knowledge is so powerful that you don't want it for just one day. Because in order to commune with God, to get in touch with God, it's not like you go on Sunday and you meditate and you have a word from God and then you just forget about it and move on. You can't. Because it is such a glorious feeling to be in the presence, to know that he is working on you or he is stirring up the gift that's inside you. To know the greatness that you have, it cannot be for one day. The same way Mother's Day cannot be for one day. The same way Father's Day cannot be for one day. The same way Christmas, the way that they have changed Christmas into being, that can't be for one day. I love you so much, but I got to wait to the 25th of December to shower you with presents. If I'm able to and I love you, I should be able to shower you with presents any day of the week. I don't have to wait till Christmas. And I understand that it's the symbolic meaning of it, but I'm saying that we as children of God, God beings, need to be able to express this on a daily basis, not on a anniversary day or something to that nature. Jesus said, as often as you do these things, you do them in remembrance of me. And when you're remembering him, you're remembering the Father, because Jesus and the Father are one.
One. Mm-hmm. Amen.
But it's really going to get deep and powerful for you when you realize that Jesus, the Father, and you are one.
I think that's the critical juncture where we kind of lose a lot of people. Because, again, I think when you think about the stories of Jesus, when you think about the stories of Jesus and the magnificent things that we are told that he did, sometimes it could be threatening to you to think that maybe you really have that kind of power. And again, if you understand the stories of Jesus, you know, there were some powerful things that he did. And if you stop and think that I have the same power, I could do exactly the same thing, it could be hard to believe.
All right, let me give you an example of something then, okay? Let me give you an example, and this is just something to think about. How many of you, how many of you have cooked a meal and that meal was the best thing ever?
I have.
The best thing, huh? And I mean, sometimes it's like you amazed yourself at just how good that meal was.
Amen.
And, mm-hmm. and if somebody else was to taste it, they'd be like, well, what did you do to make mm-hmm. this so good?
Okay.
Isn't that what they said about the wine? That Jesus,
mm-hmm.
the water that Jesus turned to wine?
Right. Mm-hmm.
You understand the point that I'm making? But we look at it as if he went out and made some Chardonnay. And because he made some Chardonnay, that made it extra special. You know what I mean? But everybody talked about just how good that wine was. Now, and I'm not, once again, I'm not saying that it's a fluke. I'm just letting us know how we do have that authority, how we can do the same thing, how we are doing the same thing, but we choose not to see it in that light because we think that we are so much less than he was, even though he told us that we weren't. He told us that we were the same.
You know, that story you just gave me, it just clicked, and I'm sitting here waiting for it to hit, and it just hit in that. So I was not on delay, but I'm listening to you, and I'm trying to figure out how is that fitting together? Because really, it just wasn't syncing for me. And then again, I'm good. So if I can go in there and cook something. Again, make something taste beautiful or delicious out of other ingredients. If I can create something that tastes that good that people will compliment, isn't that what Jesus did? Now, again, I guess the bottom line was we both created something that tastes good and was acknowledged by a lot of people as good. But I think that Jesus would still hold Trump on that because all he did was stick his finger in the water.
So the story goes. All right.
Okay.
And I'm not once again, I'm not here to just crucify stuff, but I'm just here to show us how all things are possible. How many times, and I'm speaking from experience now, I've seen my mother go in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
and take two or three ingredients, and I don't even know what they were, and start making the dish. And I've already said to myself, and I've already said to myself, ain't no way am I eating that, because I don't know what that is. I ain't eating that. And then I sit down and eat it, and it's one of the best meals ever.
That's right.
That was his, that coupled with the fact that you fully understood that if I don't eat it, I'm gonna be hungry at least for about like 9 more hours till breakfast. So let me see what I can work with here.
They started drinking, and when you start drinking, you want some more drinks. So if it ain't no more, and this is all he got to offer me,
I'm drinking that.
Okay. I'm hungry. I ain't got no more. This is all she got to offer me. What's the difference?
Okay. And but you know
again,
what? Even on that. In fact, that was the first miracle Jesus performed, wasn't it? As per the Bible. I mean, again,
that was recorded per se.
That was recorded, right? Yeah. So, the first thing his first miracle is turning water to wine, but yet we crucify folks who drink wine. Other than Catholicism, you let your preacher be at a restaurant with his members and he order a glass of wine. Right away, they go to whispering. And I say, other than Catholicism, because when I worked in Jersey, there was a monastery, a Holy Spirit monastery, and every once in a while we would have lunch with the priest there. And me growing up Baptist, we would go into restaurants and they would bring their own beer glass with them. I'm so serious. The first time the priest, the father pulled his glass out, I'm raised Baptist. If the preacher drink, he sneak and drink. He don't go to a restaurant and do it. They pulled that beer glass out, I'm just like shocked. I was so embarrassed that I couldn't even eat. I left. I'm like, no, you're not getting me caught up in this. I'm thinking, God, I'm not going to come back, catch me sitting here with y'all. and I'm serious, because that was so against everything that I had been raised to know. Preachers don't, wait a minute, you're just going to, like Cedric the Entertainer said, you just going to do that all out in the open and everything? But you know what, though? After missing two or three lunches, and again, monastery, they put on a nice lunch, and seeing everybody continually going, I'm saying, okay, it must be all right. And we got to the point where they would make jokes about the alcohol. They asked the father, I thought you quit drinking. He said, yeah, I'm just going to have one. And he go in his bag and pull out this 40-ounce glass. Having one beer and sit there while we're there. And it was fun because, again, after I stopped judging them, because at first I went from I'm not sitting there to, okay, y'all all going to hell, to, hey, these some cool priests. That was the progression I went through with them. It was a nice time, but, I don't even know how I got on that subject of alcohol. We talk about alcohol. Oh, I know how. We talk about alcohol, which Jesus made, and how we look at people differently for doing it.
And just so that you know, to show you that Jesus was human, technically, alcohol really is not good for the body.
Well, now, let me rephrase that. He made wine. Now, what wine is? I mean, again, we know our wine. He made wine. I think that's what the actual writings say. It doesn't say alcohol.
Right. That's correct.
Let me just keep. We're gonna try to keep it. We'll try to keep their story as true as the way they told it.
Right. Uh-huh.
But when you say alcohol is not good for the body, what do you mean? Alcohol is not good for the body?
Because it destroys the liver.
And let me correct you. Excess the liver. Excess.
Okay. All right. Because I got ready to say. Where can I get another liver at? Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
But yes, you are correct. Excess. But what I meant by that is once we tend to think that it's okay, then it will become excess. You understand what I mean?
Okay.
If you
medications destroy the liver.
That's correct. That is correct.
Medications do.
It's correct. And the body was designed, whether we want to accept it or not,
the liver,
the body,
the kidney,
was designed.
Your heart, many organs in your body, medications.
That's
some
correct.
Good for you. There are pros and cons to medications.
But what we have to understand is the body was actually designed to heal itself.
Okay.
This is the great working of God. The body was designed to heal itself. Now, there are some natural herbs that God has planted in this world that can do just what these medicines are doing. And what they do a lot of times is they take these herbs and they add other stuff to it, and it causes more harm than good.
Right.
And we understand at the point that we're in now, because of the fact that we've lost the faith and we don't believe, we have to depend on them. So I'm not telling nobody not to go to a doctor and stuff like that. But you need to first get in touch with who you are. So believe in your heart. The woman with the issue of blood with Jesus, he did not touch her.
Right.
She didn't even touch him. She touched his clothes.
Right.
And what he told her was, has made you whole.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't as even if he reached out and healed her. His just the fact that she believed that he had the power. That's what healed her. And that's the same thing, that same power we have. That woman showed the power that she has. Jesus didn't heal her. He told her it was your faith that did it. And Jesus said, faith the size of a mustard seed, you can do all kinds of things.
Amen.
You just got to believe, knowing who you are. Believe in your heart
funny?
And doubt not.
We always grew up hearing that verse, faith the size of mustard seed.
That's right.
I actually looked up a mustard seed. And that verse took a whole new meaning, because that verse lets you know I don't require a lot from you, man.
That's right. That's right.
I don't require a lot. He doesn't. Okay, if we buy the verse,
uh-huh.
The faith is out of a mustard seed.
That's right.
I mean, wow.
That's correct, bro.
Yeah.
And this is why it is so simple. We just have to begin to know who we really are. And I have to go back on that, because this is really powerful for us to understand. Because when we say who we are and people are looking at us like we're crazy, think about the woman with the issue of blood. Think about her. And the Bible tells us that she had for years and years she had it. And she just gave up. And she said, if I could just touch him, I can be healed. She couldn't touch him, but she touched his clothes and was healed. And trust me, he didn't have on no special healing clothes. But he knew, and he told her, it was your faith that healed you. We have to start believing and knowing. You get a cut on your arm, and you wait 3-4 days, that cut's healed. And if a cut can heal, what else can heal? God did not make any mistake when he created us. Regardless of what I want to tell you, God knew just what he was doing. And he did it perfectly. He couldn't do it any other way. And so for us to be so short-minded and so forgetful that we can believe that a devil can come and change everything that God did is crazy of us. And we've got to get back to knowing the word for the word. If you're going to base your whole life on the Bible, then try to read the Bible and truly understand it and not read it letter for letter. When you know that the Old Testament stories and the New Testament are We need parables. So if it's a parable, then you know you need to do some thinking on it. Because it isn't just that. But we won't do that. We just say, well, whatever you said it was, that's what it is. But it's deeper than that. The only way you're gonna be able to determine that, it says, seek and ye shall find. Somebody just up to tell you something, you're not really seeking anything. You're just going on whatever it is they told you. But if I was to tell somebody that I just put $1,000 in your account, you're going to be checking that account to see if it's in there, right? You're checking. You want to see for yourself. So the same way it says seek. He says, I stand at your heart knocking. All you have to do is open the door and let me in. I stand at the top of your brain waiting for you to open up so that I can come in. But I can't come in if you got all of this other garbage and stuff going on. If you trying to get me, but you're thinking about the electric bill, or you get me trying to think about somebody that did you wrong, I can't go into that mess. But clear your mind of that mess, and I'll come in and I'll sup with you. I'll sit down and I'll talk with you. I'll show you some things. I'll tell you some things. Because as I said to Nurse Carmen on numerous occasions, there is nothing that we do not know. Nothing. We know everything. And this is not a learning experience here on Earth. This is a remembering. And all we have to do is remember. And in order for us to remember, we've got to get in touch with the Creator who created everything. And He knows everything, and He is a part of you. And because He knows it, you know it. Everything. Physics. That, all of this stuff. He knows it.
Yeah, we're probably going to have to do about a series on that, because just that's so profound. That we're going to have to spend a little time on embellishing upon that, Brother Messenger, because I'm certain that when you tell someone they know everything, that didn't set home. Because that's a lot.
It is a lot. That's just how awesome we are. That's just how awesome we are. There is nothing that God can do that we can't do. The only problem is we can't do it is because we don't believe. God can do it just by thought, just by saying the word. Why? Because He knows. He knows it, so technically using our terminology, He believes in His heart and He doubts not. So He knows and it is. And that's all we have to do. And then we'll see the same things that Jesus did, the same ability to create. We create every day. We create the heartaches that we go through, and we create the joy that we experience. We do that and don't even realize it. How many times have we been having, quote unquote, a bad day, and we just said to ourselves, you know what, no more. I'm not going to let that get me down. And we just changed. That's how simple it is. That's how simple it is. But we make it hard. We make it hard because we choose not to believe the word of God. That same word of God that when I tell you about its discrepancies, you want to call me crazy, but you don't even want to follow that. And just using that as a roadmap or as a guidance on what you need to do, you won't even use that. You only want to use certain parts. Like you said, my brother, Jesus turned, according to the story, water into wine. And then when we have communion, we're so afraid of wine, we use grape juice. But we're doing this in remembrance of Him. What is the problem? And with the cups that they give you for communion, would it really get anybody drunk to have that amount of wine? It's not even a mouthful. But we're
again,
so afraid of it.
Yeah, but again, we understand it is symbolics. So therefore, if we already understand it to be symbolic, we understand all shortcuts are okay.
I tell you, all shortcuts aren't even necessary.
They're not necessary. If we understand that it's some BS, if it's some different stuff, I don't want to say BS, it's some different stuff we've doctored up just to, like you, and I love how you said that, just to fool God. We sit there, we're going to dip ourselves in the pool to make us think we got baptized. Again, we do these things to fool God. So, again, if I can give you grapefruit and tell you it's wine because I'm fooling God, then I can dip you in a pool and make you think that God blessed that water.
Now, if God, if quote unquote, according to the baptism, if God's going to bless the water, why won't he just bless you? Why did he need to go through the water, go through the whole ritual and stuff? It's because that's what they are. They're just rituals.
See,
to give you the illusion that you're doing something that is pleasing to God when it makes no difference to God whether you dipped in some water or not. When you come in one with God, he's not going to tell you now, go dip yourself. Go dip myself for what? I'm in communion with God. What do I need to go dip myself for? Wash off some of the stuff that we think is bad. It's not bad. It's just something that we prefer not to have.
Okay, we're down to we're down at the top 3 minutes to go, so it's about time to get ready to sign off. But as always, hey mothers, that was your Mother's Day message. I'm still calling it that. I don't care. I'm getting it in right now. So yeah, watch this. I want to say to all the mothers, that was your Mother's Day message. And we ended on some Mother's Day. But watch it at about a 1 minute mark. We're going to end with the mother of all mothers, my mother, as she always sings her babies to sleep. Hey, well, let's say our good nights, everybody. Go ahead, Nurse Carmen.
Good night, my brother and sister. Have a good night. God bless.
Okay, Sister Purr left a little earlier. Hey,
oh, okay.
And as always, Kenny Hodge here. Always have a great time ministering with my brother, Nurse Carmen. And again, we're going to keep sending this word out. And then eventually you're going to get on board. You'll join the podcast. And we'll show you how to take this ministry forward and take it to your neighborhood and just help us spread the word that God is in us already. Messenger, take us home.
I just want to let you know also we had the opportunity to play that song for Mother today. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You would have thought she was listening to Shirley Caesar. All right? So she enjoyed that word as much, hearing herself and knowing that the joy that it gave to her, that her beloved son loved to hear her song. So once again, not even knowing it, this is God at work. Bless you all.
Yeah, man. We get sent off by mom singing. I could just see us all right now sitting up at Gas Seminary. But this song right here was like the warm up. We better have church now.
We heard it at dinner and she came all the way down the elevator too, all right? Just in case y'all don't know who that is, let me give it to you one more time.
When I see Jesus, amen. Was it? That's one lady who is now singing on the microphone.
Oh, my trials will be over. The recording sounds good too, bro.
When I need
Jesus, the skills are getting there.
That's getting there. He's working on it. Wait till you see this. When I hook my master mix board, I got coming. Hey,
all
here
right,
we go.
Bro.
Oh, Lord.
Let's all have a good night. Like I said, we're going to have a quality show. And the better we sound, the more we're going to draw more people. And it's going to be all right. Hey, good night, everybody. Mm-hmm. And again, Messengers Podcast.
Love
Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, 11 p.m. to 12 p.m. Yeah, we now locked in for an hour every night. Can't wait to the next show. Peace, my brother.
Likewise.
Bye-bye.
Peace.